Excuse Me, Dear, written by John McCartney. A night out to celebrate does not go as expected. Inside a fancy restaurant at night, the staff, all dressed in black to match the painted walls, scurry about. Fine linen hangs from the tables. A few vintage chandeliers dangle from the ceiling. A hostess, Brie, 19, greets two middle-aged couples as they enter the restaurant.
Welcome to Mabel's and Nash.
The party of four are led to a table in a large dining area. A menu with the words Happy Birthday, Maureen, in festive colors, stares up at them as they are seated. Maureen Stone, 59, dressed in an elegant style, cranes her neck as if she's looking for someone. She grabs Bree's arm, almost desperate.
Excuse me, dear, the cellist?
Brie has no idea what Maureen means, totally confused.
Cellist? Is that a wine? I'll have the wine guy come over.
No, dear, it's not a wine. And if there is a wine guy, he's called a sommelier.
A totally blank look on Brie's face.
It's 8 o'clock. We were told she would be playing. Yelp reviews say she's playing Yo-Yo Mama's Suite No. 1 in G minor.
If Brie could be drained of all knowledge, she would have this look on her face. Blank, with no clue what was said.
Ma'am, I just started today. I'll find out.
She starts to hurry off, and Kurt Stone, 62, picks up the menu, holds out his arm to impede her escape. The customized menu with the wrong greeting stares up at him.
Excuse me, dear. Happy birthday? It's our 30th wedding anniversary.
Sorry, sir. I'll get you some regular menus.
Brie hurries off and flips through the pad of notes to look for any information that may help her. Kurt shakes his head.
Are you kidding me? We're paying these prices for this?
One of the others at the table, Barbara McCartney, 59, who could be mistaken for Maureen's twin, chimes in. It's the labor shortage.
Labor shortage, my ass. It's just these kids feel so entitled.
A burst of laughter from a table of 20-something girls. One blonde girl, obviously a bride-to-be, wears a bridal veil. Her maid of honor offers a toast.
A moment of silence, please. For all her suitors she's leaving behind, and Lord knows I've lost count.
The table roars with laughter. Maureen and the bride catch each other's eyes. Maureen smiles. The bride rolls her eyes, rudely turns away.
Hope we don't have to listen to that crap all night.
I'm sure they'll be quiet when the cellist plays.
$200 for a steak and we have to listen to that cackling?
Maureen fidgets as she's trying to hold it together.
I need to hear this music. I missed it so much when I was there.
Pin drop silence as those at the table share a memory. Barbara glances over at Maureen's badly scarred wrists. Her right hand limp, shriveled, unfunctional from apathy.
Wish we could have heard a cellist without paying for all this crap. Is she the only one in town?
Artists have to play wherever we can, or we become unwell.
I know. Don't have to remind me.
Barbara, nervous, grabs Kurt's arm, cuts him off. How about we forget what happened for tonight? Maureen, in her own world, is not listening. She displays a huge smile as a cellist appears and sets up in a corner. Brie returns, studies her notepad, puts on a smile. The 20-something girls roar with laughter.
My manager says the music lady is gonna play. Do you want to order?
Order? You're a waitress?
Yes, sir.
You're not just the hostess?
Yes, sir. No, sir. We're short people, so I gotta help out.
Unbelievable.
Kurt, please.
Maureen, mesmerized by the cellist. Excuse me, dear. Would you ask those young ladies to please keep quiet while the cellist plays? Brie smiles at the girls, wishing she could join them.
The girl at the end is marrying a mega influencer. She's so lucky.
A lot luckier than us. Look, my wife studied at Juilliard, which probably means absolutely nothing to your dumbass.
Juilliard?
Yeah, she played the cello before her, accident. We only came here so she could hear this lady play.
Bree's eyes study Maureen, stops at the scars on her wrists.
Why do they even have someone like her even playing here?
It's what everyone is doing, like a remix of old classical music with rap. All the artists are doing it.
We're not going to have to listen to any rap crap, are we?
Brie looks around.
I don't see him tonight.
Who?
The rap guy. I guess it's just that Jell-O lady.
Jell-O? For crying out loud, just bring us that overpriced steak on a stick with some sides already.
Steak on a stick?
Barbara's husband, John, 60s, gentle giant type, interjects.
He means the tomahawk steak. Medium. Cut up four ways, please. And for that darn price, save us the bone to take home to our dog.
And, excuse me, dear. Bree recoils from being verbally pummeled, sighs. She turns back around and stares at the ceiling, uninterested. Please ask them to be quiet. Bree glances over at the girls, obviously jealous of them.
I'll see what I can do, but this is a lively place.
Her casual dismissal of the girls' behavior readies a tinderbox at the table. The four guests glance at each other. Bree goes over to the bride's table, leans over, and whispers. The whole table becomes quiet, looks over to Maureen's table. Kurt doesn't notice the bride flips Maureen the bird. Maureen's head twitches. John distracts Maureen and Kurt by changing the subject.
The origin of the tomahawk steak is actually French. They call it Frenching, meaning they trim the bone of meat and hang it so the blood is drained.
Bullcrap! You're such an idiot! Where'd you read that malarkey? The history of this stupid steak on a stick goes back to the days of Rio Grande cattle drives.
The female cellist, dressed in a tuxedo, begins to play. Maureen leans forward. The music, a soothing contrast to the mood in the restaurant.
My gosh, she's incredible!
The table of girls burst out laughing again, causing the cellist to stop. Kurt, having enough, turns around.
Can you shut the hell up already?
Silence in the restaurant. Finally, the cellist resumes playing. The manager whispers to a security type. The filleted tomahawk steak is brought to the table. The bone lies off to the side as if to justify its price. Kirk cuts Maureen's steak in small bite-sized pieces.
Looks like something I could buy for $60 at a market.
Maureen beckons Bree to return to the table.
Excuse me, dear. Could you cut off the sharp end of that bone?
Bree casually grabs the bone like a stick.
Careful, dear. Don't want you or our dog to get hurt by that thing.
Bree sighs at the condescending comment. She takes the bone back to the kitchen. As the evening goes on, Maureen, with her eyes closed, sways to the music as if she's floating on a cloud at the gates of heaven. Blissful. The vulgar girls laugh and curse so loud the cellist is drowned out. Frustrated, she stops. Maureen opens her eyes, inhales as if she gasps for air. She is desperate to hear the music.
Why did she stop? She can't stop now. She's just getting to the best part.
Bree returns with a bone in a bag.
I'm sorry, the cook, chef, says we can't cut the bone.
I need to hear that music.
The bridal party's table roars with laughter. Maureen grips her steak knife with her one good hand. Kurt, concerned, glares at the girls, slowly removes the knife from Maureen's hand. Kurt boils over.
Get me the damn manager. Who would want to come here for dinner?
Dinner? It's not about dinner, sir. I got the job here because they're trending on Instagram. This place is just so lit. You know, drip. I guess you guys would say something like rad, maybe? Oh, I know. Cool. Yeah, cool.
Get me the manager now!
The bride glances at Kurt and Maureen's table with a defiant look, downs a shot of tequila, and bang! Slams the shot glass on the table. Bang, bang, bang! Girl after girl takes shots of tequila and slams down the shot glasses. Maureen stares at their table, tears in her eyes. The maid of honor notices and whispers into the bride's ear. They both glare at Maureen and laugh loud. The cellist is frustrated she can't be heard over the boisterous girls. She picks up her cello and leaves. Maureen watches her leave as if her best friend is leaving her forever. Surely she will turn around. She is gone. Maureen's eyes twitch uncontrollably. Kurt can't stand seeing his wife like this, stands up. He glares over at the manager and security.
You expect us to pay top dollar while listening to their bullcrap?
The manager makes his way over to Kurt.
Sir, we would appreciate it if you could keep your voice down. These outbursts?
Outbursts? Are you kidding me?
All eyes in the restaurant focus on the argument between Kurt and the manager. Security, ready for a physical altercation. The voices of the manager and Kurt reach a crescendo. No one notices that Maureen slowly stands. Maureen gathers her purse along with a tomahawk bone bag. She approaches the bridal party. Her eyes rapidly twitch. The girls all become quiet except for the bride and maid of honor, who drunkenly share stories. Kurt finally notices Maureen and, as if in slow motion, pushes everyone aside to try and get to her. Maureen taps the bride gently on the shoulder. "Excuse me, dear." The bride swerves her drunk head towards Maureen.
"What do you want, lady?"
The tomahawk bone bag floats to the floor. Maureen's one hand grips the bone quickly, swings back, then forward. She drives the bone deep into the bride's eye. Blood squirts everywhere and covers Maureen in blood. The table of the girls scream and scatter. The bride's blood splatters everywhere as she stands up and unsuccessfully tries to pull the tomahawk bone out. She stumbles around with both her hands clutched on the bone. She's unsuccessful at pulling it out. Finally, she collapses dead on Maureen's table and the bone is driven deep into her brain. The bloodstained Maureen turns to a stunned Bree. "Excuse me, dear. Check, please."